Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. Hump day Wednesday.
Hump day.
Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, man? Yes, thank you. It's Hump Day. This week's going by fast. The rain is back, but it's not as bad as it was. It's just raining. I don't know what the hell that was last week, but it's just rain, so I can deal with this right here, man. But, yeah, I'm good, man. As Wendy likes to say, happy schedule release day. We know that the week one has already been released. We kind of figured out and found out. We knew the Falcons were going to London. We kind of found out who their opponent was. I just want to know what time Wade Ford going to be that morning.
Early.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, that's my thing. I just want to know what time Wade Ford going to be that morning, man. Because my boy Big Hugh, you know, well, hell, he's a morning person. He do damn morning show, so he'll be just fine. But yeah, it's exciting. I remember as a player, it wasn't as big a deal then, Andy, as far as, you know, the media attention for it. But you wanted to know where the hell you was going?
Sure.
When
sure.
It was cold, you know.
Right, you probably, because you're playing in the
AFC
playing
East.
In that division. So, when are we going to New England? When are we going to Buffalo?
And every time we would always go in November, December.
Damn.
So it always was going to be that. And then, you know, being in San Diego, Kansas City over, back over east, going east.
Oh, yeah.
It was always a two-day trip, so you were like, yeah, where are we going in? Oh, we're going to Miami.
I guess at least in St. Louis, you're playing inside.
Yeah.
So late-season games aren't a big deal, although it gets really cold in St. Louis.
Damn, shout out.
They open the season. The Falcons are going to open the season at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. We found that. That was the one that we know 100% for sure confirmed by the NFL and by the team. Which, all right, great. I don't know what the ideal scenario would be. Philadelphia is not very good, so or at least they weren't very good last year. Neither were the Falcons. But, you know, maybe you get a nice start against a team that's not very good, and Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot's regime gets off to a nice beginning. Hopefully that's the
way man. We're just going to take one. We're going to be my main man, Nostradamus. I'd look at some chops. We're not going to do that, you know, but it's a long, long way away.
We're already taking it one game at a time?
Yeah,
we don't
man.
Even know how,
oh, yes, one game at a time. So it's all about
really
Philly.
I really want to take it two games at a time.
No, it's all about Philly. Okay. All about Philly. All about Philly right now. Everything else, nothing else matters. Okay. All about Philly.
They got 17 of them this year.
I know.
So,
but they got, how many, like, actual games are going to be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Seven?
That's okay.
Right? Because the one that's
in London is an actual home game, yeah.
Yeah. And then, right. So seven. They'll have seven games at Mercedes-Benz. And they'll open there. So that means only six in the final 17 weeks of the season. It's a gauntlet, Randy. We can already start making it. It's a gauntlet. already start making excuses for how hard the Falcons schedule is going to be and why things didn't go their way. Yeah, there's a long way to go before the season gets here. We will get the full schedule released today. I actually look forward to today, not just because you know who you're playing and when and where. That's fun. But it's the day of the year for the team's social media departments.
Oh, yeah.
They put together these awesome, whatever, it's a video or a slideshow. A couple years ago, remember the Falcons did the Game of Thrones thing, which was really cool. So that will be cool later today to see what all the teams come up with, if that's something that you're into, which I know not everybody is. But I am, and I can't wait to see what that looks like later. It'll be a nice distraction. Because that'll happen right around what time will those come out tonight? 8 o'clock,
yeah.
Which is
yeah.
usually right around when the Braves bullpen comes into the game.
Yeah.
So at least we'll have something else to distract us from that dumpster fire of a unit that the Braves currently call their bullpen. And again, last night it happened. Really nice start by the spot starter, the rider of the Wankster wagon, Bryce Wilson, comes up and does a nice job.
He's good. He's fine. He was fine.
And then the Braves blow another lead, another lead after the seventh inning, which they did not do a single time last year. They've done multiple times this year. And it's more about how for me today than it is. I mean, yes, doing it however it happens is frustrating. Losing games is frustrating. But there's a how to it. And the way that it went last night with the mental mistakes was pretty crazy. Like, it's pretty crazy to see guys just not know how to do fundamental baseball things at that level.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of, like, of course, you know this. In baseball, I know it's a long season, we get all that. You're going to have bullpen, they're going to let you down. Nobody's bullpen is perfect, all right? And I get that, even though we were 23-0 last year when those guys came in at a certain time in the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is the part of last night, you're like, okay, what were you thinking? I think that was the more of what, from my perspective,
walk
on some of those plays. It was like,
what are you thinking
right there? Why did that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what was so frustrating. All right, it wasn't necessarily, of course, because we know this bullpen, they're going to give up leads because they're not good. Now, can they do their job every now and then? Yes, but it's like, are teams scared to go to the Atlanta bullpen? No. But when you look at how they lost that game last night, that was just crazy. I mean, that's how I took it, Punk. I was like, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, that's one of the moments, Andy, where you're like, I saw it, but I don't believe I saw it like that.
I don't believe that that's how they decided to do this.
Yeah.
And I know that after the game, Brian Snicker was asked about the Jacob Webb, Freddie Freeman, first base, not getting there, not throwing home, whatever. And he described it as saying, well, Freddie was going to throw home. He lost the grip on the ball. Jacob didn't want to run in front of him and throw him off or whatever. And maybe, I mean, that's at least like, that's a logical thing you can say. I don't buy it. I think that that's a good job of a manager sticking up for his players, which Snit does, and we'll get to in just a minute. I think that's a fine thing to say to sort of take the bullet for your guy. Jacob Webb, as far as I understand it,
he done this in Florida, right?
He's supposed to get off the mound when contact is made. Like, that's what they practice in spring training. You don't wait there and see where the ball goes or what the first baseman is going to do with it or the decision. You don't crouch in the middle of the infield when the ball is made contact with and the bases are loaded and you're the pitcher. You break towards first base to go cover the bag. So even if Freddie does throw home, maybe the catcher can throw the ball to you and you can double off the batter. Like, if Freddie did throw home and he threw home quickly, there was a chance they could have got a double play on that play, not with Jacob Webb crouching in the middle of the infield.
Right.
So that doesn't make sense to me. Jacob Webb also doesn't have a lot of ground to stand on, being that he didn't cover home plate in his last outing either.
Yeah, that's what I said. This ain't the first time he's had those fielding blunders and everything. But, yeah, I mean, that just seemed like it's like a day one thing. You know, when Freddie's off the back, he feels it, you go to first. You know, and if he wants to throw it to you, it's not, they usually wave you off, they can get to the bag, and that's it. But I think that's the frustrating thing last night was that part right there, the blunder. Ronald Acuna home run,
yep.
Marcelo Zuna home run. But that part right there and how you lost it in the eighth. They had nine guys come up in the eighth inning. You know, was it 10? Whatever. But
They batted around.
So that's the thing about it. You're like, you're at this point where you've got the run production that you wanted. You got the homer from him. You got contact from Marcell Ozuna, and then y'all come in, and then y'all do that again.
Yeah, and those are all actual problems that the Braves have. They have a problem in their bullpen. We'll talk more about that coming up in half an hour, about what specifically you think is the biggest problem that the Braves have in the bullpen, because there's a lot of different directions to go with that. They also, at times, have a problem putting runs on the board. Three runs last night. I know they hit a couple home runs, but, you know, you give your bullpen a little bit more room for error if you put up more than three runs. Okay. There's been some guys that have been cold at the beginning of the year. There's been some injuries. Like, actual on-field issues that this team is dealing with that have led to them being 17 and 18. They haven't been above 500 at any point this season. They have actual baseball issues. What they don't have is what was talked about for a while earlier this week on various social media platforms and elsewhere, as far as a rift between their manager and some of the players. And Dave O'Brien, who I think does an excellent job covering the Braves for The Athletic, was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. And they asked him specifically if Brian Snitker has a secret issue with how Ronald Acuña plays baseball.
That's a figment of the imagination of a lot of people on Twitter and social media, because Snitker loves this kid, you know? Would Snitker have some guys turn it down? Yeah, but he hasn't asked them to, and that's to his credit. He's a 65, 66-year-old guy, whatever he is. He's been in the game 45 years and has seen the game totally change, yet he's accepted that. I mean, there are a lot of managers. Can you imagine Ozuna or Acuña doing what they do with Bobby Cox's manager? It would have never happened. So I give Snitker all the credit in the world for letting these guys be themselves.
So that's 30 seconds of Dave O'Brien going on a very impassioned rant about that Brian Snitker, Ronald Acuña, Freddie Freeman, whatever you want to call it, rumor, conversation, whatever, from earlier in the week. I would encourage you to listen to the entire interview. It's available on 929thegame.com on the Dukes and Bell page. And he basically dismantled the entire idea that any of that was there. I also like that he acknowledges, and we said this, I think, whenever this happened, was it Monday or whatever, that yes, Snit probably isn't a huge fan of the flair, but if he really had a problem with it, he would try to get the guys to stop doing it. Did you see Marcelo Ozuna hit a home run last night?
Yes.
Did you see him take a selfie at first
yes.
base?
Yes.
Euro step at third. Yes. Low five run.
He Euro steps at second, too.
Yeah. And then that happened, right? Then that happens every time he hits a home run.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I love it. And Brian Snicker's been the manager ever since Marcelo Ozuna's been here. So this idea that Snit is somehow harboring some sort of resentment against these guys. I was glad Dave O'Brien came on yesterday and soundly put that to rest.
Yeah, I mean, I we did say this on Monday. He don't like it, and it's not necessarily he's dealing with it. He just knows it is what it is. It's is this going to hinder them from playing well if I don't let them do it or anything? They're playing well. They're having fun. Go ahead.
He's right. Yourself.
Yeah, just be yourself. He's right. Bobby would have had a fit. Bobby would have been out there rolling on the ground.
Other managers in baseball today would.
Yeah, a lot of them, and a lot of them still do. So, yeah. I mean, that's why you see hit bats of these guys getting hit and everything when they come up to bat. But, yeah, I never thought it was a big deal. I know we got some, people want to make it. I just never did. Just because he said it the right way, I just didn't look at it as a shot at Ronald Acuña saying Ronald's doing the wrong way. He just said Freddie's doing the way that we've always done it. And you know, these young players, they just do things differently now. I have no problem with just like you. And I never have. I love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love that he lets guys go out there and be themselves. It would be crazy if he didn't. So that's over now, right? We're done with that?
Oh, we're no, of course not. Oh. Because if he comes in a dugout and doesn't give Snicker some dap, that's hard feeling.
They should make up their own handshake. I'd like to see Brian Snicker with his own handshake. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending, including, hey, AJ Minter, what's on that piece of paper that's in front of you?
This is nothing.
No, it's actually how many outs you recorded in the eighth inning yesterday. That's what it is. Zero. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get early bird savings now. Get over $3,000 in cash initiatives on heating and cooling systems from Reliable Heating and Air.
And Ray brings it. Swing and a rocket rope toward left center field. That ball is gone. A line drive home run for Acuña.
His 11th of the year, Randy, courtesy of Bally Sports there, Chip Carey, who's going to join us in an hour from right now. Voice of the Braves going to be on the show an hour from right now to talk a little Braves baseball. And that's when things were going well for the Braves early on last night. Ronald Acuña hits a bomb, just absolutely crushed that thing. It hardly got higher than 10 feet off the ground at any point, just a laser beam to left field. Ozuna added one later, which was great. Great to see Ozuna slowly but surely adding a little bit more power to his arsenal.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, the bullpen came in, and things unraveled from there. But at least good to see some of these guys hitting the baseball early in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you get a nice solid start from Bryce Wilson. Mm-hmm. Nice solid start from him. He didn't hang one up there. How cool is it when you look at the Blue Jays lineup? You got all the sons of great players.
It is very cool.
It was very cool when I saw that last. Vlad Son just knocking one up out of there. But yeah, I mean, they did enough to win the game, but the bullpen let them down again, and it's just unfortunate that this is something that. As Braves fan, we're just going to have to continue until reinforcements get back. You got three guys that's going to upgrade your bullpen, and Sean Newcomb, Shane Green, and the other guy. And so it's going
Chris
to
Martin.
Be.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, this early, man.
My bad.
You had.
Dang it.
Yeah, you had him in there. I mean, but you're going to get these kind of moments from guys like that dude. I mean, he's been doing really well. He just makes it to a point where why the hell do you have to make it so hard? You know, as far as you don't have to give up a hit every time you come in a damn game. But, yeah, he does battle his way out of those things. And eventually, in the last two times he's been out there, it's been pretty good. Now, when you look at A.J. Minter, he really is. I know we talked last week. You said you like A.J. He just hit or miss with me. He really is. I'm done with Webb. He can go there with Nate. You know, and so you just don't know. You just have to buckle up when they come in now, Bunk. I mean, is there any other solution? They don't have enough people to just basically just say, okay, all y'all going to the alternate site. They got to keep some of them here. And so we just got to get to a point where, you know, you hope for the best.
Yeah.
You and know, that's, expect that's the worst, my, hope for the best.
That's my biggest issue. We'll talk more about it coming up in 15 minutes, get the phone lines open on it as well. But that's my biggest issue is just guys in spots they don't need to be in.
But that's what I'm saying. Where would you put them at?
We just don't have depth.
Yeah.
That's the issue is – you have to put Jacob Webb into the game last night with the bases loaded and no outs, because who else are you going to put into that situation? I mean, I guess you could put Luke Jackson in there.
He would have got out of it.
I guess he might have. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably got out of it.
That's the thing. You just have to convince Luke that he got himself into that situation.
And then
put him in jams, and then he'll work his way out of them. That's what he's been great at this season. But yeah, I mean, that goes back to the conversation we've had since the season started, which is you allowed that part of your team to get worse. You allowed the group that was one of your strengths last year to become a weakness by letting guys leave. Now you're bringing Shane Green back, so I guess now what you do is wait and hope with some of these other guys coming off the injured list as well. But yeah, right now it's just hope they score 10 runs and, you know, the bullpen will be able to, if they give up 3-4 runs like they did last night, then it won't lose you the game. It'll be frustrating, but it won't lose you the game. AJ Minter, on the other hand, Randy says it's no big deal.
I mean, we're right there right now, I feel like. We got all the right guys, all the right pieces. I'm not going to worry about this one. You know, like you just said, I've been through a lot of adversity in my career, and this is nothing. So I'm just going to go out there and hopefully get back in the game tomorrow and help this team win.
What the hell, Jay? I mean, come on, AJ. We understand, you know, we've been watching you for a while, and we understand you've been through things. That's cool. Don't say this ain't nothing. Yeah. Just don't do that part. You know, I mean, as athlete, you always take responsibility. Yeah, I blanked up. Yeah, it's on me. But don't say this ain't nothing because I've been through adversity before. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, the thing people can and we'll get to Brian Snicker's explanation of Jacob Webb and first base in just a minute. There's no debating that AJ Minter made a mental mistake in that baseball game in the eighth inning. And he had the dude off second base dead to rights. He had him. Just throw it to second. Don't double clutch. If you're just going to look him back, then just look him back and throw it to first base. The one thing you can't do is what he did, which is look him back and then fake to first and then, oh, wait, maybe I have time to get him at second and then second guess yourself. And then by then you're screwed. He makes the throw eventually after all that and ultimately no one is out and then guys are walked and then the bases are loaded and then it's just a really bad situation that even the best of relievers couldn't get themselves out of. I mean, bases loaded with no outs, you're just going to give up some runs. Honestly, it was crazy to say, as bad as it was, it kind of felt like it could have been a lot worse in the eighth inning the way that things started. The fact that they only gave up three, as disastrous as it felt, was kind of shocking. But yeah, what AJ Minter did there with that mental mistake is what set it all off. And then what I thought was a mental mistake by Jacob Webb, Brian Snicker after the game said maybe wasn't.
You know, he's going to get hit right in the back of the head or the side of the head if he covers right. I mean, Freddie, I guarantee you, there's not anything in his mind about going to first. He's in right there and just couldn't come up. You know, it happens.
Whatever, man. Okay. That's fine. Because, hey, from the TV angle, it didn't look like he was in the way. But we weren't out there. Maybe from his vantage point, Freddie would have got him in the head. That's a possibility. I just was always thought as soon as the ball's hit and the first baseman's off the back, you go over there. So, hey, and that is what it is. They know more about the game and more about strategies and tendencies and all that other stuff than I do. But it just sure looked like he was supposed to be there because Freddie sure was expecting him there. And you could tell when Freddie threw that ball back to him how he felt about it.
Yeah, like that's the thing. We all saw it play out. That's a fine way to explain it, to stand up for your guy. And that's fine. I mean, whatever they want to say.
Right.
To me, it seemed like a situation where the pitcher covers first base. Even if Freddie does throw it home there and doesn't flip it to Webb at first base, the catcher then could throw it on to first base and try to double up the batter. We've seen that before, and that would have been really great. And then you would have been well on your way out of that jam. Instead, again, no one got out, and the worst-case scenario played out. But the other thing about it is it goes before that. Yes, that was a bad situation that they put themselves into where it was a razor-thin margin, and they didn't do the right thing. Whatever you want to say, the right thing didn't happen. No one was out. They scored a run on a little infield dribbler. But if they wouldn't have loaded up the bases in the first place nonsense.
You wouldn't have been in that situation.
And the bullpen put you in that situation as well. So we can nitpick what Jacob Webb did if we want, but that seems like a waste of time.
It does. And when we come in here the day after a Braves game, and this happens because it's been happening a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so it just get to a point where it starts to me to seem like we're nitpicking when we're actually not just explaining what we saw that time. And I just got to take every game at a time with this bullpen when the starters come out. It's just like, okay, who's up? Okay, he's up. Do your job. Damn, he got three people on. Oh, he got out the inning. I mean, that's where we're all right now. It's not really – and then you do have some good outings where it's just bam, 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 sit down. It's just been that up and down process with the Braves and this bullpen so far.
Yeah, the inconsistency of the bullpen is one of the biggest issues. We'll talk through the bullpen's biggest issues and get your thoughts on that as well on the phones in 10 minutes from right now. Before we do that, let's turn the page to the Atlanta Hawks, who have an opportunity tonight with a win at home against Washington to clinch a top six spot in the playoffs. If they win tonight, then they don't have to play in the play-in tournament no matter what. That's a nice thing to be able to say, Randy. If you just sort of think about this from a big picture perspective of, I don't know, a couple months ago, the fact that before the season is over, they can clinch a spot in the top six in the Eastern Conference
playoffs.
Pretty
doggone good.
That's pretty doggone good.
Pretty doggone good.
They've been playing some pretty good basketball in order to get to this point. Here's DeAndre Hunter, who was back out there the other night, who won't play tonight, which is all part of the plan, how it was explained to us. We'll talk about it in a minute. Here's DeAndre Hunter talking about his knee.
I just try to go out there and not think about it and just play. And I feel like I played pretty well in the time that I was out there. So knee's feeling good. I don't have any complaints.
Yeah, and they said yesterday there was no swelling. There were no issues. There were no setbacks. They're giving him the day off today because they've got a back-to-back tomorrow. And they're just trying to be as cautious as possible with DeAndre Hunter. So I know when I first heard that he wasn't playing tonight, I was like, oh, God, here we go. Here we go again with DeAndre Hunter. It turns out it was part of the plan.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at the Hawks. They got tonight. They got the Wizards. They got the Magic. They got the Rockets. Okay, they should win all three of these games. Don't know what, you know, we know tonight Russ is going to come for some necks tonight and probably have 20-20-20. But, I mean, that's all fine and dandy as long as the Hawks win the basketball game. Like, he's a certain guy that's going to get his.
Yep.
You know, he's going to get his points, rebounds, and assists. That's what he does. But the Hawks have got to find a way not to have it, you know, where they're up and they take their foot off the gas like they did last time. Not really overly worried about it because it's been a process where they haven't done it a lot like they did at the beginning of the season. So I think that should take care of itself. But, yeah, I mean, the way they lost games at the beginning of the season, you would never told me that they would be in this position right now. I mean,
yeah.
the coaching change, we all know what Nate has done. And to get things turned around, but these are those games where you just can't look past. It was the last week, was it, when we were talking, and they lost to Indiana. You know, I know they were tired, back to back, and all that, coming off of a big time win against Phoenix. But it's just like you can't let that, you know, you can't let down, and they don't need to have a letdown tonight. wish DeAndre was playing, but obviously, like you said, they got a plan for him. And don't deviate from it, because I know he's been gone. They need him in the playoffs.
It would be really helpful. Really helpful to have DeAndre Hunter. Now, speaking of that coaching change, obviously that's sort of the two parts of this season, almost two Hawk seasons with Lloyd Pierce, and they were 14-20 and all the blown fourth quarters and all that. And then the second part of the season when Nate McMillan took over and he's been the coach. Solomon Hill was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday as well. It was, I mean, not surprisingly, if you've ever listened to Solomon Hill, just an awesome interview. The guy is fun to listen to talk. You can check that interview out as well on the website. Here, Solomon Hill is talking about Nate McMillan.
The vibe around the locker room is just that this is the guy that we're playing for right now. You know, I know they're young in their experience with coaching and staff changes, but we just go as we go. We're glad to have them right now. I don't think we're taking anything for granted. And, you know, that's who we're playing for. It's a cool thing that we have such a young locker room, because they're just locked into playing for this guy. You know, we're winning, they're finding success. So they're just bought in. You know, I don't think there's any boost, because all they know is that this is our coach now. And, you know, he has to do due diligence for his own life perspective and career as well. But that's our coach right now. We're gonna give him everything we got.
Yeah, and we'll find out at some point in the offseason if Nate McMillan is going to be the coach long term. They're not going to do that until the offseason gets here, and I think that's the right move. A couple of other things to note in what's trending, and we'll get back to as the show goes on. Schedule comes out today in the NFL. The Falcons play the Eagles week one. We'll spend more time on that in an NFL No Huddle coming up in about half an hour. Chip Carey going to join us at 11:20. Coming up next, though, the phone lines are open, 404-741-0929. I think we all agree that the bullpen is the Braves' biggest issue. But what is the biggest issue with the bullpen? What is your number one complaint as it relates to this Braves' bullpen? We'll talk through that next with you on the phones at 404-741-0929. We'll be right back.
I'm the boss. 745, white on white.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday Show with Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from an NFL No Huddle. We'll let you know what we know about the NFL schedule release. We know a couple things about the Falcons schedule. The remainder of the official schedule will be released later on today. Some other NFL news and notes as well. Chip Carey going to join us at 11:20. The voice of the Atlanta Braves. Before we get there, though, we want to hear your voices on the phone lines at 404-741-0929. Answering this question, I think we all understand that the bullpen is the Braves' biggest issue. Right. We agree on that. There's other issues. But
yeah, there's other issues.
Yeah.
Starting pitching you brought in.
Yep. That also is an issue.
Damn it, Charlie.
But I think the bullpen is the biggest one. So what is it about the bullpen that is the biggest issue to you? And we'll talk through it. And again, you can call in and let us know what you think at 404-741-0929. Very well summed up by Steven on Twitter saying, biggest problem with the bullpen? Too many wanksters.
I was getting that point, man.
It's like a reasonable explanation to me. And
when we made up this band and we made up this wagon thing, like, I was dead serious. Like, what the? And then Brian played the bumper wanksters. That's how we came up with it. I was like, damn, wankster wagon. And that's how we came up with it. But it's getting frustrating. But it's also where you're like, just go. I just hope you do well. That's where I'm at with this right now. I don't go in with any expectations when any of them come in. I'm just like, don't, just do your job.
Yeah.
You got two guys on base. Fine. Just get them out. You know, I don't expect perfection. I don't expect perfection from anybody, but I don't expect 1, 2, 3 from anybody.
I don't need style points.
Yep.
I don't need it to look pretty. Just get out of the inning without giving up a run. However you need to do it. I don't even care. Like, if the guy falls down on the way to first base with the bases loaded and you tag him out.
Yep.
Whatever.
Fine.
However it worked for you.
You might
awesome.
Walk the first three batters you face, yeah. But you get everybody else out. Next play out. That's fine.
Yeah. And that's whatever. Very much what the Luke Jackson experience has been this year. And I was talking to Brian about it in the update. This is almost uncomfortable to say, but I think it's true. I've got more confidence in Luke Jackson than I do in 80% of the guys that are in the bullpen. That is not a good situation to be in.
But the thing about it is he's been doing his job. So yes. even though it's been, but he does it. He gets him out. He gets out the inning without runs, whatever. Fine, whatever.
I just wish there were more guys that I trusted more than him.
Yes.
And there really aren't. Like Will Smith in a save opportunity. Yeah, I feel pretty good about that. Tyler Matzik, you know, for the most part, feel pretty good about. The rest of the guys, it's like, all right, here we go. Say a prayer. Do something. Knock on something. I don't know. Sit in your lucky seat. Whatever it takes. Let's get out to the phone lines and talk through this. We'll start with Sanchez in Atlanta. What's up, Sanchez?
Andy, Randy.
What up, doggy?
I love saying that.
Good morning,
man. Good morning, man.
What's going
on? I would go with saying, man, keep them injuries down. We'll have a whole healthy roster with them pitchers. But one pitch I would say, like, Freed, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Max Freed, Fry.
Yep.
He can pitch, but, man, it's just so much with the injuries, man. Like, we'll be good for the half of the season. By the time we get the postseason, like, oh, we'll be injured. Oh, this guy is injured. Now, one guy I say that's beautiful, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but it started with a Y, number 19. That man, yeah, awesome guy Sunday. When I took mom to the Mother's Day, we beat the hell out of the Phillies, which is awesome. But, yeah, he is awesome, man, and he can hit.
Yeah, Sanchez, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. That's an interesting thing to bring up, too, in that Inoa was supposed to be a part of the bullpen at the beginning of the season, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they were hoping that Wilson or one of these other guys would step into the fifth spot, and you wouldn't have the immediate injuries to Max Fried and all that, and Smiley would be able to not have to avoid certain teams and get his start pushed back a few games so he doesn't have to pitch against the Blue Jays again, which is pretty soft, but whatever. Inoa was supposed to be a part of the bullpen. Now, again, that doesn't really, like, make you feel better because he has done a really good job as a starting pitcher, so
correct.
There's a talented guy who's not in there in the bullpen anymore. Injuries are a part of it, for sure, no doubt. Like, you're going to get Sean Newcomb back soon. I mean, he was on the COVID list. He's going to be back soon. That tall guy, number 55, whose last name is Martin, pitched in Gwinnett yesterday.
And it was good.
And he's going to be back with the Braves soon, too.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed.
Didn't even say his whole name. He'll be back soon, too. And hopefully that makes a difference, because those are guys that you were expecting to count on. And that, to me at least, is the most frustrating part, is you've gotten yourself to a situation early in this season where you don't have enough talent, and you have to put guys in spots that they don't belong.
Right.
Like, Jacob Webb should never have been in that situation yesterday.
But you don't have a choice.
You don't.
That's the thing about it. You don't have a choice. And we saw, as the season last year went, and as we got closer to the playoff, you started seeing role sort of, this is where you're going to be at. Now, of course, you can't pitch a relief pitcher every single day. We do understand that. But at the same time, then you started seeing the Wanksters wankster away. You know, they started wanksting away.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. And then you started putting dudes in there that, hey, we have the confidence. Now, we know stuff happens. We understand that. But the confidence that we had when you went to the bullpen last year, it just ain't here. Yep. It's just not here right now.
Not at all. JT is in Powder Springs. What's up, JT?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What's going on, man?
I think have a good day. I think the biggest problem with the bullpen has been consistency based on lack of control.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've noticed watching the games is it looks like Contreras is moving his mitt during the pitch. And for me, that does two things. It gives the pitcher a moving target, and I think it also makes it harder for the umpire to give us, okay, good calls. I think we're getting a lot of calls that are just on or off the plate that are being called balls. And I think part of the reason is the movement of the mitt, not once he catches the ball and then tries to frame it, but actually during the pitch itself.
Interesting. I thank you, JT. That's
appreciate
a very it, specific thing to observe. And
because it's happening a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's with the Braves. It just is. You're just like, what the hell? The first strike on one of Ozzie's at bat yesterday. You saw how Ozzie looked like. That was a strike?
That was low.
Like, what it was really low, guy.
And I think the catchers, I mean, they're doing a good job of framing, and I think Contreras does do a good job of framing. To me, that's a thing that, you know, probably shouldn't be a part of baseball. If they just had strike zones that were consistent, then you wouldn't need to frame. But whatever. That's a different discussion. I have the Contreras is pretty, like, I don't know what the right word is. Like, he's active back there. He's moving his mitt. There was one time yesterday, I don't know what he was doing. He put his mitt, like, way outside behind where the batter was standing and then brought it. And, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think that's the biggest reason why the pitchers can't hit the strike zone or get out of jams like they did yesterday. But I did notice that Contreras is kind of fun to watch behind the plate. Coach D is in East Point. What's up, Coach D?
What's up? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Coach?
I'm good, man. I just want to say I'm glad y'all named them guys that. They ain't nothing but wanksters. I can pitch better than them. You know, if you want to keep giving them chance to keep putting them on the bump, where's Tuukka Toussaint? I think he got better stuff than all of them. I haven't seen him this year.
He's injured.
Tuukka! I mean, Coach D, appreciate the call, Coach D. Woo!
Tuukka's on the 60-day IL.
Yeah, man. But I mean, Tuukka was supposed to be. I just don't know, man. My confidence level is flatline. I'm just like, just do your job. I don't care if you give up hits. Just keep them from crossing home.
Yeah, and if somebody grounds the ball back to you and there's a runner on second, and you look him back, throw it to first.
That's it.
Or if there's a grounder in the infield and you're on the pitcher's mound and the first baseman has to play the ball, cover first base.
Yeah, man.
Maybe that wasn't the case last night, but just going forward, cover first base. Yeah. That's all I'm asking for.
It's okay. I forget stuff too, man.
All right, we'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Chip Carey going to join us at 11:20. Thanks for the phone calls. They were brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelers in Buckhead and Alpharetta. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.